several weeks ago, and the title of the series was Spiritual Examinations. And today we're on Examination 7, and we're going to be talking about a checkup on our giving. And I realize this is a sensitive topic, but this is something that we need to hear, because all of us, we need to know how our giving is, because this is very important to the Lord, how we give. And, you know, we've been examining a whole bunch of things in the past several weeks, and things like hearing, reading the scriptures, our self-image, praying, talking. And today, we're going to be talking about giving. I got to share something with you. I remember when I was about 7 years old, my mom's aunt decided to take my mom and myself out to lunch. And, you know, after lunch, my aunt wanted to buy me a large lollipop. There was a store nearby. And you remember in those days, those big lollipops were this big. They were very colorful. And I was like, really? For me? And I was so happy to receive it. When she gave it to me, I go, wow! I was looking at that lollipop, and I was filled with joy. But then my aunt said, I'd like to buy one for your brother. And if you know from previous sermons, you know that I didn't get along with my brother, and we didn't like each other at all. I gotta be honest with you, but we love each other today, praise God. But, you know, being the typical bratty seven-year-old, I said, no! I don't want him to have one. I'll give him some of mine. Yeah, really, like, I'm gonna let him lick my lollipop, right? But, you know, the aunt insisted, said, no, I want to get one for your brother. You know what? I started to cry. Oh, I don't want mommy. I don't want her to buy one for my brother. And you know what? The aunt got really upset. And she called me, in Chinese now, the little black-hearted boy. And I didn't like that. I tell you, from that point on, I never really liked her. But now, you know, hey, it's all forgiven, right? And I remember one time when I was at home, I answered the phone. And guess who was on the phone? My mom's aunt, right? And, you know, I said, okay. She asked for my mom. I gave the phone to my mom, and I said, Mom, it's the black-hearted auntie. Oh. And my mom, I saw, she was kind of panicking. And she got, oh, I don't know what he said. You know? But, you know, here's the thing. When it comes to giving, it's really something that we know as Christians we must do, but it must come from the heart. And you'll be either known as a good-hearted person, or as in my case, if you don't want to give, you'll be a black-hearted little boy. And we don't want to be that, right? And that's why we need the Lord to teach us the importance of giving, amen? Because Jesus often taught on the subject of giving. In the course of a sermon, this is what he says. Look in your notes. Luke 6:38. He says, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more. Running over. Look at that. It's going over now. And poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. This is the words of God. The words of our Lord Jesus. You want to be blessed? You got to give. It's very simple. Look what it says here in Luke 21:1-4. It says here, as Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Truly, I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty, that she put in all she had to live on. And you know, with true Christian giving, as we shall soon find out, it's not just about your willingness to give. It's about the heart. It's about your attitude of which you give. Because guess who looks at your heart? God does. And he knows if truly you're giving with the right heart. Well, first of all, we got to ask ourselves, what kind of givers are there? We know there are different types of givers. Well, look at letter A. It says, those who give rarely. Rarely, right in that blank, rarely. And you know, because of greed and covetousness, you know, even though they may have a lot or may not have anything at all, or maybe very little, they want to keep whatever they have all to who? Themselves. And what they don't realize is that they hurt themselves by their stinginess. Because look what it says in Proverbs 11:24. It says, give freely and become what? More wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. And you guys heard of that statement, what goes around comes around. This applies. If you give a lot, God says, ooh, double, triple, keep on going. But you don't give nothing, you get nothing. Right? Very simple. This is what the word tells us. Look what it says in Proverbs 23:6. Don't eat with people who are what? Stingy. Don't desire their delicacies. You know, just imagine the person who takes you out to lunch and tells you, you know what, I love you so much. You're such a great person. Order whatever you want on the menu. Just go for it because I really want to treat you really special today. And so you do, but you don't order the most expensive one because that, you shouldn't do that, right? So, okay, you order the second most expensive dish on the menu. And then you realize, hey, that person kind of has like a frown on their face because of what you just ordered. And just imagine, they make a comment like this. Hey, you know what? You look hungrier than my dog during feeding time. And you know what? This never happened to me, but someone told me something like this that was very similar. This person was just making these comments, even though they said, go whatever you like. And then they're upset. You ever been in a situation like that? Well, that's why the Bible says, do not desire their delicacies. Because just imagine, you may be eating this food, right? And suddenly they make a statement like that. You may go, what? You may choke on the delicacy. That's what, well, the Bible didn't say that, but you know, that's probably what it is. When you desire a stingy person's delicacies, guess what? You may go, what? You may be shocked. So just realize God calls us to be generous. When you give from your heart and say, oh, all yours, praise God that I can bless you. Amen? Then letter B here. It says, those who give begrudgingly. And these are people that give only out of a sense of obligation or duty. And you got to understand, if you give begrudgingly, you're going to lose the joy of giving. Or you may not have any joy to begin with. Because you're giving because you have to. You see what I'm saying? Well, I know, you know, the pastor taught on the importance of generosity. So, okay. You know what? You're not going to have any joy. And God can't fill you up. And God cannot fully bless you unless you have this heart, this willingness to give. Look what it says here in 2 Corinthians 9:7. It says, you must each decide in your own heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives what? Cheerfully. And you know, the person may still give, right? It may benefit others, but it does not benefit oneself. Because you know what? The heart is not true. The heart may be getting even harder. I got to tell you, you know, in Korean culture, I wish my brother-in-law, Yong is right back there. But you know, it says, from what I did my research, it says in Korean culture, gifts are presented using both hands. That's right, brother? Both hands open, right? Am I right, brother? Okay, good. Okay. Just want to make sure of that. And the idea is that one that is giving without holding anything back is showing that by keeping their hands open, right? And likewise, gifts are also received with both hands wide open. The idea that one is fully open to receive what is being offered. I'm going to ask my brother Jimmy to come forward. I want to demonstrate this. So this is the Korean way of giving, right, brother? Hands wide open like this. And you're going to have your hands wide open. Brother Jimmy, I want to give this to you. You see that? I didn't hold on to it. He didn't go, come on, give it, right? That's the way we do it. Think about this. This is how God calls us to give, like this. Wow. But just imagine now that I'll give this to Jimmy right now. And I say, brother, I love you so much. I want you to have this. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead. No, no, really, go. No, no, go ahead. Go ahead. Wait. I want you to understand, we may not do this physically, but we may be doing this in our heart. We're saying, wait, I still like this, though. Okay, and then, okay, let's imagine this now. Okay, brother, you give this, just like Korean style, like that. And you say, you want to give it to me. Hey, what took you so long, man? This is mine. What took you so long? Well, let's praise God for my brother, Jimmy. Oh, thank you, brother. And the whole point of this is, we got to realize, when we give and receive, we got to do it with both hands wide open, because you know what? It shows that your heart is right. Because sometimes, you know, people say, you know what? That is mine already. And that could be something that will affect our heart, because it's showing that you have this spirit of entitlement. You guys heard of that word? And we got to realize, because think about it. It says, do not be pressured into giving. Because you know what? You're going to give it the wrong heart. So if there's one that's being pressured, this is what the Holy Spirit spoke to me. If there's a person that's being pressured, guess what? There's a pressurer, right? Someone says, you got to give. What's wrong with you? Right? And you got to realize, when you do that, you're going to cause your brother to stumble. Because that brother may give to you, but he's going to give with the wrong heart. Do you see that? And that will affect his heart and may even affect his relationship with God. So we realize that all that we receive is from God. If you're lacking, you go straight to God. Do not depend on man. Depend on God, who supplies all your needs. Do not worry. Do not be anxious. It is God who provides. Amen. And when we give and receive from the Lord with both hands open, we withhold nothing from Him. When God gives, you give your hands wide open and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blessings. When you do it with this kind of heart, guess what God's going to do? He's going to bless you even more. Because it's when we hold on to something that greed comes into our heart. When we grab it, mine. No. Open hand. Thank you, Lord. Just like how Jesus gives. He gives with open hands. Look what it says there in Proverbs 3:9. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything that you produce. So whatever you have, you honor Him. You give Him the best. Don't say, well, this is second best. It's just as good. No, give Him the very best. Open hands, Lord, for you. I give you my best. That's where God will be so pleased with you. Because truly, your heart is in tune to the words of God. You're saying, Lord, I give you all of me. Amen? Well, letter C here, it says, those who give graciously. And you know, an excellent example of this is the church of Macedonia in 2 Corinthians. And I'm going to read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And this describes the heart, really the true heart of giving. Look what it says here. It's in your notes. It says, Paul says to the Corinthians, now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in His kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor. You see that word sacrificially? They don't have very much. And they got a lot of problems, yet they still say, I want to give. That's sacrificially. That's the kind of giving that God wants us to do. And it says here, but they are also filled with what? Abundant joy, which has overflowed in what? Rich generosity. So they're doing it joyfully. They're saying, oh, I love to give. It's just like they get more happy when they can give. Wow. And look what it says in the next verse. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it out of their own free will. They did it freely. No pressure. It didn't come from someone that said, you have to. No. It was done freely. And they said, no one has to tell me to give. I love to give because God had put that in my heart to do so. And look what the next verse says. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing the gift of believers in Jerusalem. Imagine, they're begging. Paul, let us give. Please, we want to give more. How do you think they got like that? It's because God had filled them up with His Word. God had filled them up with so much of His love that they're saying, oh, please, let me give more. Imagine if we had this kind of heart in the church, always willing to give. Oh boy, can you imagine the blessings of heaven that would be poured forth upon the church? Wow. So this is done persistently. And we got to have that persistence to give. It's always saying, I want to give because I know this is what my Father God wants to do and I love to do it. And then he says here in verse 5, they even did more than we had hoped. For their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. And the point there is that they're given to the Lord. That means your heart must say, I'm all yours, Lord. You got to give yourself to the Lord fully in order to give in this way. And this is how you know if a person is fully given to the Lord, when they're always saying, what can I do to help? How can I show you more of God's love? I mean, this is how you know His love is increasing in your heart. You're always wanting to give. Amen? Because such giving shows God's grace at work in both the giver and the recipient. And you guys heard of Pastor Dr. Tony Evans? I want you to listen to what he says there. He says, it has been said that there are three types of giver: the flint, the sponge, and the honeycomb. And he says, to get anything out of the flint, you know, flints are like, you know, little rocks, right? He says, you must hammer it together. And what happens when you hammer it together? There's spark, right? Or, you know, chips and spark. But sometimes it takes forever. You want to get a boof flint. You could be doing it for hours and hours, and you pretty much might not get anything. But then, it says, to get anything out of the sponge, what you got to do? Squeeze it, right? And sometimes that's what you gotta do. You want someone to give. You gotta squeeze and still nothing coming out. And the more pressure you use, the more you get, right? But it takes a lot of pressure. And we don't want that. We don't want to pressure anyone to give. That's what the Bible tells us. And so Dr. Evans says, we must be like the honeycomb, just naturally overflowing with sweetness. Just think about it. A bear, when they see that honeycomb, they go for it. They know they're going to get stung. But they go, oh, I like that sweet stuff. And they're willing to take it. And it's overflowing. And we got to realize, we got to be like that honeycomb, overflowing with sweetness. When we give, it's just like, you know, it's from our hearts. Because you're saying, I want to give. I want to help you. But it's between that person and God, amen? And as God speaks it into that person, oh, but when a person says to that person, give, it's different. It's out of obligation, maybe out of duty. That's not good. It has to be from God speaking to that person, amen? And that is how that heart will just grow bigger, wanting to give unto the Lord. So Dr. Tony Evans says, when people understand what God has done for them, no one will have to plead with them to give. And that's what it is. When you understand what God has done for you, He sacrificed His only begotten Son. He did it all because of you and for me. Knowing that He was willing to give in this such a way, our hearts should be saying, Lord, I give all of me unto You. Amen? And you know, as we consider the different types of givers, we can appreciate there is an importance of proper giving. And look what it says here in letter A. It says, God blesses the giver. Right in that blank, blesses. And number one, it says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Do you believe that? Well, only a believer can really understand that. A believer that has tried this out. Because for the world, they say, no, it's about you getting more. No, but if you're truly in the Word, you realize, yeah, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Look what it says in Acts 20, 35. It says, in everything I did, Paul says, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Realize, it says hard work. They're working hard, and because of what they have made, he's saying we must help the weak. Remembering the words, the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. In Proverbs 19:17, it says, whoever is kind to the poor, look what it says there, lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. And what we discover is that, you know what, God loves to pay interest when we lend to him. It's not that we got to say, hey, Lord, I do this for you, you give me interest. No. He's going to give it to you whether you like it or not. Because he knows you got the right heart. He wants to reward you. And that's why he gives us interest. Well, what kind of interest, Ben? Well, let's look what it says here in Psalm 41, 1 through 3. Look what the psalmist writes. He writes, oh, the joys of those who are kind to the poor. The Lord rescues them when they are in trouble. The Lord protects them and keeps them alive. Oh, the Lord protects them. He gives them what? Prosperity in the land and rescues them from their enemies. The Lord nurses them when they are sick and restores them to health. He protects, he nurses. Wow, when you are generous, God just wants to give you more of himself to you. You see that?
Amen.
Oh, you should be wanting to go and give as we leave this church. Oh, you're going to say, oh, how can I help someone? You know, because that's what God wants us to do. And you know, giving, you got to understand, blesses the giver more than the recipient. You see that? It blesses the giver more than the recipient. And you can give this way. Letter B here. It says, God generously provides more, right in the blank, more for the generous sower. And number one, it says, to multiply the seed for even more good. Because you think about it. What do you do with a seed? You put it in the ground. What happens when you put it in the ground? It grows. And God gives you more seed because he's going to put it in your hands. What you do with it will determine how blessed you are. You got to put in the ground. You got to put in the work. But you know what? It's going to grow in great abundance as he gives you more seed. He wants you to do the work, but you're going to continually do as he tells. And this abundance will come because you're doing it God's way. Look what 2 Corinthians 9, 10 to 11 says here. For God is the one who provides seed. Who provides the seed? God does. For the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched. Oh, you'll be enriched in every way so that you can always, always, always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So in other words, if he knows that you truly have a genuine, generous heart, guess what? He's going to make sure that you stay generous. And not just stay generous, he wants you to be overflowing, overly abundant, because he knows you're willing to give. And remember, I want to ask you, what does God own in this world?
Everything.
If you realize God says, all that I have is yours. Guess what? You got a generous heart. God's going to keep on giving. And you go, I have heard of businessmen. They're so in tune with the Holy Spirit. They love the Lord. They're always giving. I remember as John is watching this video, the guy is saying, Lord, stop already. It's too much. Can you imagine saying that to the Lord? That's what he's saying. I ain't kidding you. He's saying, enough, Lord. It's overflowing. And that's what God will do. When you've got a generous heart, God says, no, I'm going to keep it flowing because your heart is right. You know it's not about yourself. You know it's about others. So God says, I'm going to keep it flowing. I'm going to keep it flowing because I love you, child, because you're giving with the right heart. Well, let her see here. It says, God is praised by giving. God is praised by giving. And look what number one says here. by thanksgiving to God. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 9:12. It says, so two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express what? Their thanks to God. Can you just imagine how pleased God is when there's so many prayers that are lifted up to Him, praising Him, giving thanks to Him because you gave freely as He directed you. Can you imagine that? All the thanks is going to God because of what you did. What do you think God's going to do for you? Because He knows that you did it with the right heart. So God says, okay, more blessing for my child. Number two here, it says, giving God all the glory for what has been done for them. 2 Corinthians 9:13, it says, as a result of your ministry, they will give what? Glory to God for your generosity to them and to all believers who will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And you know, in this ministry, Open Door, they wouldn't want to have it any other way. We want to give all the honor, all the credit, all the glory for all the good that happens here. Realizing we don't want a pat on the back. Because sometimes I hear people, and I remember when I was in other churches, people would say, you know what? I'm not getting honored here. You know, people don't give me the kind of applause that I want. So you know what? I'm going to stop that ministry. People don't praise me for what I'm doing for the Lord. But really, are you doing it for people? Or are you doing it for the Lord? We don't need the applause. We just need to know that God loves us and that as we show it by what we do for others, guess what? God will know that our heart is real, that our heart is true. So it's not about us. It's all about Him. It's all about what we can do for other people. Number three here, it says, by giving, there is an increase in brotherly love. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 9:14. And he says, and they will pray for you with what? Deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. Thank God for this gift too wonderful for words. And we got to face it. Love is expressed very deeply when there's a spirit of generosity. And we have to know that when we can give in a way that is from our hearts, guess what? People, they're going to love you with a kind of affection that you know it's deep. It's not just superficial. It's deep. And because, you know, you can just say, oh, I'm going to pray for you. And you just pray a simple prayer. But, you know, when you're willing to give, not just of your money or your resource, you're willing to give up your time, whatever it is, guess what? These people are going to be praying for you. And that's what we hear. We help out some missionaries, and they're always expressing how grateful they are to God. And they're saying, we're praying for you guys. And you can tell in their voice, they're saying, oh, we're really praying for you every day because you really have the kind of hearts that is from God. And all of us, when we realize, when we can give generously, you know that people are going to know that you truly have a heart that is for God. Amen? Because it shows by your giving. And you know, we have good reasons to give. You know, I just gave you these examples, and it should motivate us to just give, and get excited about this. Well, look at what Roman numeral 3 says. It says, becoming better givers. So how can we become better givers? Well, letter A there, it says, there are different ways to give. And we know that giving is not limited to just money. But, you know, God requires us to even give of that, right? Because even of the tithe, right? The Bible talks about that. There'll be another lesson sometime later. But it's just not limited to money. And God may empower us to give in other ways. Look what it says here in 1 Peter 4:10 to 11. It says here, God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God Himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and the energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to Him forever and ever. Amen. And you know, we must be willing to use our talents to teach or to serve, you know, because our time can be one of the greatest gifts to give to other people. Just you're willing to say, you know, I'm willing to spend time, pray with you, just to hear what you're going through. Time is such a wonderful thing we can give to others. And whatever our abilities and opportunities that we have, we should minister our gifts to one another, because that's what God calls us to do. He's given us these special talents, these special gifts. We must utilize them. And we should do so with the ability that God supplies to us. And one thing we can do is we got to plan the use of our talents and of our time. Because, you know, sometimes we wait for the opportunity to come, right? And we don't want to wait until someone asks to help them out, that we do it at the spur of the moment, because we see that there's a need and go, oh, okay. You ever been in a situation? I got to tell you, I've been to a church where, you know, I knew there was a need for a Sunday school teacher and no one volunteered. And then I remember someone came up to me and said, Ben, would you be willing, because we really need a Sunday school teacher. It was right in the spur of the moment. I knew there was a need, but I could have done it. But I was like, ah, that means I got to wake up earlier, you know. I'll be honest with you guys, you know. And so I remember I did it with the wrong heart. I go, oh, man. I would go to the Bible study. Okay, guys. And you know what? When you do that, God can't bless you. I'm just going to tell you that. You got to do it the right heart. And you see a need, go to the Holy Spirit. Lord, you want me to do this? I'm going to do it for you. Because sometimes we think, oh, I got to do it for man. Because no one else is doing it. And then you're going to do it with the wrong heart. And you know what? You may do it. I actually did it for about a year. And after like maybe a couple months, I started saying, okay, this is good. You know, I like doing this for the Lord. But just imagine, if I just did it throughout the whole year, just grumbling. Oh, woe is me. Lord, look what I'm doing for you. Oh, you should be glad. Imagine, really, if we were to do it like that. And it's like, you know what? Your reward is lost. Remember, we're going to get rewards in heaven. If you have this kind of heart, just like you didn't do anything for the Lord. You see that? We got to make sure we do it with the right heart, with the right spirit, because then God will bless you. And you know what we can do? We can look at our schedule. We can budget our time to offer our abilities. If you're good at teaching underprivileged children or visiting a nursing home, whatever it is, whatever that talent God has given you, use it. And we do it with the right heart, though. Don't grumble. Don't go, oh man, I'm tired after work. I gotta do it. No, say, Lord, I'm ready to serve you. Amen. It's all for you, Lord. Oh, let me at him. Let me at him. And then you're gonna get joyful, right? You're gonna go, okay, Lord, I'm gonna serve you. It's about God. Remember, it's not about so much what you're doing for others, it's doing it for God. Amen? And however you give, let it truly reflect God's grace in you. Because God's grace has to be shown that you're doing it for His glory. Amen? It's all for the glory of God. Letter B here, it says, planned giving leads to cheerful giving. And number one, it says here, we have to learn to give purposely so that we can give what? Cheerfully. You know, and this is the thing. I tell people, after much prayer and consideration, determine how much you want to give to help someone that is in need, or, you know, giving to a charitable organization, you know, because, you know, you want to get into that heart and spirit of giving. So determine, you know, based upon what you, you know, have earned, you say, okay, Lord, I'm going to set this apart for you. Because it has been shown in studies, one is less likely to give grudgingly when they have already set aside what they want to give. And when they are not caught off guard, you know, when someone asks them to give, you know, that's where, you know, they will complain, you know, because when they're caught off guard, did I say that right? So basically the point is, when you're caught off guard in giving, what happens is you may, you know, have someone approach you and say, hey, you know what, we really need this fund to help build, you know, let's say something within the church. And you go, you're asking me? And you see, you gotta plan in your mind, how much you want to give. So you set aside something. You don't want to be caught off guard. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes when you get caught off guard, you're feeling like you're pressured to give. And when you give, it's with the wrong heart. And so that's why we've got to set aside. Because that's what the Bible actually tells us what to do. And you know, actually, I know some believers that have set a separate account in which they put aside a certain amount each pay period. So when they get paid, they say, okay, this is the exact amount I'm going to be used to giving to ministry. And actually, this is how Paul instructed the Corinthians in their giving. Look what it says here in 1 Corinthians 16, 1-4. Look what Paul says. It says, now regarding your question about the money being collected for God's people in Jerusalem, you should follow the same procedure I gave to the churches in Galatia. What does he say here? On the first day of each week, you should each put aside a portion of the money you have earned. Don't wait until I get there and then try to collect it all at once. And you know why he's saying that? He's saying set it aside, because then there'll be no excuses. Because if, let's say he gets there, then he says, okay, now we got to give. Everyone's like, oh, how much should I give? Oh, I don't want to give that much. Maybe that's too little, but you know what? I'm going to give this much. No, set it aside. Already plan how much you're going to give. Because when you give at the spur of the moment, guess what? You ever done this before where you give, you know, at the spur of the moment, and then when you're leaving the church, you go, oh, I can't believe I gave that much. Oh, man, I wonder if I can go back to the pastor and ask for some of it back. You know what I'm saying? So we got to plan, prepare, ask the Holy Spirit, settle in your heart that this is what I want to give. And then you're not going to give grudgingly. Because the Bible says we always have to give what? Cheerfully. If you give grudgingly, it's just like you never given it up. Did you know that? Just like you never given it all. Because you didn't give with the right heart. Because God says, I look at your heart. And so that we will have no excuses, let's set it apart. You know, I got to tell you about this mother who wanted to teach her daughter a moral lesson. So she gave the little girl a quarter and a dollar for church. And she says, put whichever one you want in the collection plate and keep the other one for yourself, she told the little girl. And when they were coming out of the church, the mother asked her daughter, so which amount did you give? And the little girl says, well, I was going to give the dollar, but just before the collection, the man at the pulpit said that we should all be cheerful givers. And she said, I knew I'd be a lot more cheerful if I gave the quarter, so I did. And what we got to do is, we got to remember, when we make plans to be a cheerful giver, we be a cheerful giver that God loves. Because if you make it in your heart that you're planning to be a cheerful giver that you love, guess what? You may just say, okay, well, maybe I should receive it. No, remember, a cheerful giver that God loves is a giver that always gives unto others. He's always willing to say, oh, I want to make that person happy. Well, what can I do to really bless someone else? You see that? And that's where God will take note of that. Well, number two here, it says, give to be seen of God, not man. Oh, look what it says here in Matthew 6, 1-4. It says, watch out, Jesus says, don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. Wow. Just like prayer and fasting, giving should be done to please who? Please God, not man. Because if you want to please man, that's all you're going to get. The person goes, oh, you're so good. Well, that's yours. And that's all you're going to get. You know, I got to tell you about this pastor. His name is Charles Spurgeon. You know, he and his wife, according to this story that was in Chaplin magazine, they would sell but refused to give away the eggs that their chickens had laid. They had a whole bunch of chickens, but they would not give it away, though. They would only sell them. And you know, even close relatives were told, you may have them if you pay for them. That's what the Spurgeons told them. And as a result, some people labeled the Spurgeons as being greedy and grasping. So I taught their pastors, and you know, I taught their spiritual leaders, what's their problem? They were saying all these bad, negative things about them. But you know what? The Spurgeons, they accepted the criticism without defending themselves. And only after Mrs. Spurgeon died was the full story revealed. Because you know what happened? All the profits from the sale of the eggs went to support two elderly widows. That's why they were doing it. And because the Spurgeons were unwilling to let their left hand know what their right hand was doing, they endured the tax in silence. Imagine, these people say, oh, they're stingy, oh, they're this, they're that. But they just took it. They said, you know what? My Father God knows my heart. You know, they may judge me, but I know what my Father God thinks of me. He knows what I'm doing. See? And so we're not to make a big noise. Ah, look at me, I'm giving. Blow our trumpet. Look at me, I'm giving. No. If you want the applause from them, that's all you're going to get. You want a reward from heaven. Keep it silent. And, you know, just know that you're doing it for God. And we got to understand, through planned and frequent giving, with our focus on pleasing our Father God, we got to make it to a point where giving becomes second nature. And we don't have to give it much thought. Because a lot of times when, you know, like, for example, the world that doesn't know God, when they give, right, sometimes, okay, you got to give. It goes into their mind, right? Oh, should I give? And they try to reason it out. Oh, how much should I give? Or what can I afford? Or what can I, you know? And they try to reason it out. But as Christians, we know when we are called to give, it goes to our mind. Or we see there's a need. It goes right to our heart. And remember,
amen.
Our heart is where who is? Jesus, right? Where God is. So when we think with our hearts, when we in regards to giving, guess what? You're going to say, oh, I want to give. I want to give more. And it's between us and God. And God, as He puts in your heart to give more, you're going to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to even give more what you asked for, Lord, because I love you so much. Amen?
Amen?
Well, here are the bottom line verses. First of all, we got to understand that giving can be an expression of true spirituality. Truly, people will really know that you have a heart for God by the way you give. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 8:9. It says, you know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look what it says there. Though he was rich. He was rich in every way. I mean, he owned it all. And he says, yet for whose sake? Your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. And he came in the form of an infant child, born in a stable with other animals. He became poor, poorest of what you could imagine, so that he could make us rich. He came to carry the weight of the sins of the world, so that we could have that strong connection with our Father God. And knowing that He was willing to do this for you, what are you willing to do for Him? Because as we give of our money, our time, and our talents, we got to understand, we got to be careful that we do not stop being gracious givers. We've got to be motivated by the grace of God in our lives. Our motivation should be saying, Lord, you bless me in so many ways. I want to bless others. You got to be gracious, even when the person may not be so nice. But God says, and you're a gracious giver, you're going to give above and beyond. Because look what Jesus did. You know, people jeered at him. People spat in his face when he was carrying that cross to Golgotha. But he still says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. This is the kind of love that is supernatural. It's the kind of love that only can come from our Father God. And He fills us up with this very kind of love that we can give with the heart of God. Amen? Because people are going to go, whoa, that Christian, what's wrong with them? They may call us crazy at first, but then when they truly see it's the kind of love that is truly unique, you know, that you can't see it any other from any other person, but from a person who knows and loves God, they're going to say, oh man, I want to know more about your God. Because they know that you're filled with joy. You're filled with the peace and the power of God. So that however we give, this is the thing I want you to understand, however we give, we should be able to say what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. Look what he says here, the last verse. He says, for whatever I am now, it is all because God poured out his special favor on me. It's because of God. He's saying, the reason why I'm so generous in my giving is because God poured out his favor upon me. And not without results. Yep. He's saying, I see it in my life. I am truly blessed. For I have worked harder than any of the apostles. He's saying, I put in all the effort that God wanted me to put in. I worked hard. And he says, yet it was not I, but God who was working through me by his grace. It is by God. And if you are a generous person, you have this gift, knowing it's not because of you, it's because of God in you. Amen? God put this generosity in your heart to give in such a way. You know, you guys heard of this author? His name is Stephen King. And he's a famed author, and he's a master of scary storytelling. And he was involved in the terrible car crash in 1999 that left him severely injured. You know, in a commencement address to the students of Vassar College in 2001, he shared about the awakening he had as he laid in a ditch hoping for someone to help him. You guys ever heard of this incident that he went through? I want to read to you what he says here to the students, of the graduates of this college called Vassar College. This is what he says. He says, I'm worth, I don't know exactly how many millions of dollars. I'm still in the third world compared to Bill Gates. But on the whole, I'm doing okay. And a couple years ago, I found out what you can't take it with you means. He says, I found out while I was lying in the ditch at the side of a country road covered with mud and blood and with the tibia of my right leg poking out the side of my jeans like the branch of a tree taken down in a thunderstorm. I had a MasterCard in my wallet, but when you're lying in a ditch with broken glass in your hair, no one accepts MasterCard. And we all know that life is short, but on that particular day, in the months that followed, I got a painful but extremely valuable look at life's simple backstage truths. We come in naked and broke. We may be dressed when we go out, but we're just as broke. Warren Buffett, going to go out broke. Bill Gates, going to go out broke. Tom Hanks, going out broke. Stephen King, broke. You guys, broke. Not a crying dime. And how long in between? How long have you got to be in the chips? Just a blink of an eye. And he says, of all the power which will shortly come into your hands, he's talking to the students, right, the graduates. He says, the greatest is undoubtedly the power of compassion. Oh, I love that. The ability to give. We have enormous resources in this country, resources you yourselves will soon command, but they are only yours on loan. Only yours to give for a short while. You'll die broke. In the end, it's the blink of an eye. And this is his conclusion. He says, giving isn't about the receiver or the gift, but the giver. Imagine, this coming from Stephen King. Just, I really believe it had a lot to do with what he went through, the accident. I did read an interview that he came to know God. But it says, it's for the giver. One doesn't open one's wallet to improve the world, although it's nice when that happens. One does it to improve oneself. And this is what he says. I give because it's the only concrete way I have of saying that I'm glad to be alive. I hope that you will be similarly grateful to be alive. Giving is a way of taking the focus off the money we make and putting it back where it belongs, on the lives we lead. And perhaps what Stephen King is trying to say is make a life, not a fortune. Because sometimes we can be so focused on the money, on making a fortune, that we lose out on the time that we can spend with our family, the things that count the most, what we're here on this planet Earth. It's not about making money, making a fortune. It's about making a life. Making a life for others. And since you can't take it with you, we should live generously and with compassion and in gratitude to God. We give it away. That's what it's about. In gratitude to God, we're going to give it away. And as you do it, your heart is going to be filled with the love of God, with the joy of God, with the peace of God. I want you to just imagine this. If you were up in heaven, just knowing you touched so many lives, that so many people were so grateful for what you did while you were here on this planet Earth with them. Can you imagine the joy that you would experience? I want you to experience this right now in a song called Thank You. Jensen, could you play that for us, please?
Sacrifices made. I noticed. Christ on the earth, in heaven now proclaimed. I know I'm in heaven, you're not supposed to cry. I am almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand. You stood before the Lord. He said, my child, look around you, for great is your reward.
In this room. Wow. Can you just imagine that? I like that lyric where he said, Jesus took your hand. He says, take a look around you. The great is your reward. As you look around all the people's lives that you touch, because you're willing to give up your time. You're willing to give up your resources. That day will come. We're all going to stand before the Lord. Can you imagine him saying, job well done, my son. My daughter, welcome in. You did it with the right heart. You gave with the right heart. Look at your reward. Look at the smiles on the people's faces because you were willing to give. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts before our Father God. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this message spoken. I know it is your Holy Spirit that has given me all these words. As I sought for your wisdom, as I sought for your words, you gave us what we needed to hear today. And I pray as we take it in, Lord, as we allow it to settle so deep within our hearts, we know we're going to be transformed from glory to glory. We know, Father, we're not going to remain the same person, because when your word is spoken in such a way that it doesn't hurt us, it convicts us that we want to be truly a person that represents Christ well. Thank you, Lord, for the word that has been spoken, Lord. And I pray as we truly take in your words, we're going to be more like Jesus. That is our heart's desire. For Jesus is our example, and we want to be more like him. Now, with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you may be sitting or past your bed. I realize that's me. I know that I call myself a Christian, but I realize I haven't been giving the way God wants me to give. And you know that that is in your heart. And if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today, don't condemn yourself. No, don't do that. God doesn't want to condemn you. But if he's convicting you right now, make it a point. You say, Lord, I'm going to be a person who gives graciously. Who gives from the heart. With all our heads bowed and eyes closed right now, if that's you, can you raise your hand so that I can pray for you? Praise God. Anyone else? Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. All right, you put your hands down. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you've seen all the hands that were raised. Most importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands saying, Lord, I want to give more. I want to give more of my life, everything I have, Lord. Instruct me, Lord. Speak to me, Lord, how I should give. And I pray, Father, as they truly hear your voice, as they give the way that you want them to give, I just pray, Lord, showers of blessings will be poured forth upon their lives in every single area of their lives, in their health, in their finances, Lord, in their relationships. Let every area be blessed by your very hand as they truly understand the importance of giving. Father, we praise you, we honor you, we glorify you. We thank you, Lord, for what you started in our lives and what you will continue to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now for some of you, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I heard people talking about having a relationship with God, with his son Jesus. What must I do? How do I get started in this relationship? Well, what you can do is start off by praying this simple prayer. I'm going to be praying it out loud in just a minute. And if you are wanting and desiring to give up your whole life to God, if the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart right now, oh, don't resist it. The Bible says if you deny God, he will deny you. But if you receive him this very day, he's going to accept you into his family. And you're going to see how God will move in your life. And if you're saying yes to Jesus right now, you're saying, Lord, I surrender all of me unto you, Lord. I want to give you all the glory and praises for all the days of my life and even throughout eternity. If that's your heart's cry, can you raise your hand and say, that's me. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. You put your hands down. Praise God. Won't you pray this prayer out loud? Pray with me. Let's pray together as a family. Just repeat after me. Say, Father God.
Father God.
I need you.
I need you.
And I give you praise for who you are.
I give you praise for who you are.
I believe in you.
I believe in you.
And I believe in your son, Jesus Christ.
Who died for me on the cross.
But on the third day, he rose again.
And he lives in my heart.
I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you're faithful and just to forgive me of my sins. And cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord. Make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this, so you can hear me, Father God. So that everyone can hear me. And so that I can hear myself. And so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for him. And I live for a moment. Father God, write my name in your book of life. For I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says,
Amen.
Let's all